One week ago yesterday, we returned from Passport Youth Camp. Today, I'm going to tell you a few stories from our time at camp. Last Saturday, we arrived back in the church parking lot and began unloading the bus. Parents were there to pick up their students, and the questions began. How was it? What did you do? As soon as the youth climbed into their cars, the stories began. The words spilled out. They shared about all we had seen and done and experienced. It was very exciting. Later that night, when I got home, after I took a shower in my own bathroom without wearing shower shoes, it was good. I sat down in the recliner and I started to tell Seth about the week. We did this in worship. Ben and Amaya led this. On one afternoon, we did this activity. On another afternoon, we went out to a mission site. At least I was thinking about all those things and thought I was telling him. The next thing I knew, I was picking my head up from the side of the chair. Seth looked over and asked, "So what happened next?" I had fallen asleep mid-sentence. So I jumped back into my story until it happened again and again. I kept falling asleep. In our gospel text for today, the disciples are telling Jesus about all they had done and taught. The words came pouring out in such a rush. Places they'd been, people they'd met, experiences they had, so much to say. I imagine they were excited. And I imagine they were exhausted. Jesus recognizes this and invites them to come away to a deserted place and rest. Step away from all the busyness, the good work you've been doing, and rest. We all need rest. We're reminded of the idea of Sabbath, how God sets an example to take time to rest. Maybe we're even reminded of Psalm 23. Its peaceful words bring comfort to our hearts and provide images of rest and renewal. The good shepherd makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still waters, restores my soul. You prepare a table before me. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Yes, please. This is what the disciples need, and it is what we need. Now we know this, and we might intend to rest, and then our plans are foiled. Have you ever said, after this week, things will slow down? There's a picture going around on the internet that says being an adult is just saying after this week things will slow down over and over again until we die. And there might be some truth to that. Something comes up. The air conditioner stops working. The washing machine needs to be replaced. Someone gets sick. The dog keeps running away. There's an assignment that somehow we forgot all about. There's always something. For Jesus and the disciples, the crowds not only follow them, they anticipate where this tired crew is going, and they run ahead to meet them there. The blind need their sight restored. The demon-possessed need to be set free. The lame need to walk. The deaf need to hear. The sick need to be healed. There's always something. Now, I don't know how the disciples felt when they saw the crowd. I don't know how they responded or wanted to respond. Were they re-energized to meet the needs around them? Or did they want to hide? Did they collapse in a heap at the thought of having to keep going, to keep working? I don't know. All I know is that we're told that Jesus had compassion for them. That's who Jesus was. We often think of compassion as a synonym for pity. Now, pity is something we can manage from a distance. We can remove ourselves from the situation and feel sorry for someone and still just continue on with our day. Compassion is different. There's a picture behind the word compassion that we might miss in English. The German word for compassion is much more direct. The word is Mitleid, and it means with suffering. And that's what compassion means, that we suffer with others. There's a precondition for compassion, and it's this unconditional solidarity with the ones for whom we feel it. When Jesus has compassion for the crowd, it is not condescension. It's not pity. He identifies with their longing, with their need. While we were at Passport, we were paired with another church for the week. I noticed a girl in the other church group who was quiet, kind of a loner. She seemed to sit by herself, and all of the dancing and the high-energy songs and games seemed a little overwhelming for her. I also noticed throughout the week that one of our students, who's serving as a staffer at Passport, made a point to sit with this girl. Amaya sometimes tried to get her to sing and dance. She mostly sat or stood with her. And that's what compassion looks like, to be with another, to care enough to take on each other's burdens and stand in solidarity together. That's what Jesus does. He looks on the crowd with compassion, and he teaches them. He cares for them. We've already seen how Jesus shows compassion to his disciples, listening to them, understanding that they need rest. It doesn't seem like they get any rest, though. The crowd is all around. The needs are so great. And that place they went expecting to be alone to find rest, it's covered with needy people. This does not look like rest. If that's the formula, we sure don't want it. And it's true. We need those moments of rest where we can stop, put everything aside, and truly take a break. We need those. And we know those moments can be hard to find. Our best laid plans can and often do get messed up. Our psalm calls us to find rest in our everyday lives, and it reminds us that such rest is possible. An 18th century spiritual director writes, "Everything turns to bread to nourish me, soap to wash me, fire to purify me, and a chisel to fashion me in the image of God. Grace supplies all my needs." While God does call us to renewal through those practices of Sabbath keeping, of taking a break, through gathering at the Lord's table, through worship and reflection, God also promises to sustain us when the needs of others interrupt our plans for retreat. Sometimes we find rest for our souls when we least expect it. Somehow, God provides. So we think back to our psalm. We've heard this psalm at countless funerals. In fact, we read it in this room on Friday afternoon in Jane Moore's service. It gives us comfort and hope. It speaks of trust and dependence on God, the Good Shepherd. The central testimony of the psalm is that the shepherd is faithful. Maybe that's why we find it so comforting at the time of death. There's so much unknown, and we don't have much choice but to trust God. The witness of the psalmist is that the shepherd is faithful throughout the whole of life. That which is confessed in the season of grief remains true in every season. So how do we live into the words of this psalm? Where are the green pastures and still waters? Sometimes it seems that the dark valleys are deeper and wider and longer than we would like, and there's no sight of that prepared table or overflowing cup. The psalmist says, "I fear no evil." And we hear echoes of all of Scripture. "Do not fear, for I am with you." It sure feels like we should be afraid. There's so much out there to fear, and there's so much fear within us. What if I fail? What if people know the real me? What if I let someone down? What if I miss out on something? What if I don't get everything done? What if? What if? What if? We all carry secret fears that gnaw at us, that can eat us up inside. So how can I talk about living into the words of this psalm? Sure, it's easy to say there's no need to fear. It's much harder to say and mean, you make me lie down in green pastures. You lead me beside still waters. All that fear we hold on to makes it seem impossible to lie down, to let our guard down and rest. And so I wonder, where are those places? What are those practices that give us the freedom to lie down, to rest? Who are the people we feel safe with, where we can be ourselves, let our guard down, where everything doesn't have to be just fine? I'm thankful that this place is a safe place for our students, that their voices are valued, that our congregation cares for them, invests in them, and gives them opportunities to serve and lead. We took 9 students to Passport. You have seen all of them up here on Children's Sabbaths and Youth Sundays. You've seen all of them. You haven't heard all of them. Some of them feel much more comfortable with non-speaking roles. They are happy to take up the offering or light the Christ candle, and that's wonderful. We need all of our students with all of their gifts and all of who they are. Passport is another safe place for our students. I love seeing them take what they've learned here and try it out in new ways at camp. This year, all of our students led in worship on the evening of our first full day at camp. Some joined other students to lead the camp in a song they sang here on Youth Sunday. The rest of our students, including those you've never heard, read scripture, offered prayers, and led the whole camp in a litany. I know that some of them were afraid, that they would not have imagined themselves standing on that stage and speaking into a microphone. Fears gnawed and nagged at them, and still they did it. They led us well. Sometimes there's no other explanation except the grace of God. Peace and strength that are truly beyond our understanding. What are those stories for you? When have you seen God provide in your life? How can we take time to recall those stories and celebrate the experienced faithfulness of God as individuals and as a church? We read this psalm in first person and think about it individually. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. God makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside the still waters. And yes, absolutely, Psalm 23 gives us encouragement and comfort as individuals. We can say it to ourselves and find rest in its words. And it is a song of the community. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. The Lord makes us lie down in green pastures and leads us beside still waters. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. We come to see that prepared table as the Lord's table, where all are welcome. Our psalm becomes a comfort and encouragement and a call. And a challenge. I ask about the places and people where you feel safe, where you can let your guard down, where you can be fully yourself. Our psalm also calls us to cultivate these spaces and be people together who are safe, who help each other be fully ourselves, who welcome those around us to be fully themselves as well. That is how we all find rest. At Passport, our students participated in some team-building activities. They started with some easier, low-risk games, and they built to harder challenges. One of these tougher challenges was called the Yurt Circle. In this activity, people stand in a circle and hold hands, or, following COVID protocols, they used rope loops so they weren't actually touching each other. They were all connected. And Ben, another of our students serving as a staffer, gave instructions. He said each camper must lean in a certain direction without bending anything but their ankles, and they must use their weight to balance with the other people in the circle as they lean. Now, ideally, the circle balances out and you hold each other up. It rarely works on the first try, though. One of our students was kind of standing on a hole in the ground, so that was difficult. Another found herself in between people who kept falling and causing her to fall. So they would stop, think, discuss ideas together, and try again. See, if someone rushes into it before everyone else is ready, it doesn't work. If someone is too scared to lean and holds back, it doesn't work. Everyone has to lean and trust everyone else to lean. So after several tries and lots of discussion, our group, which again included all of our students and the students from another church, they worked it out. They decided to alternate leaning in opposite directions. So one person would lean forward, the next person would lean back, forward and back, and on around the circle. And it worked. They talked about the activity being frustrating at times when people weren't listening and they couldn't make it work. They talked about how great it was when it actually happened. It showed them the power of what they could do when they came together. Now, it's just a game, and it's a great picture of how we all have a role to play, how we're all needed to hold each other up, how incredible it is when we work together. I guarantee you that the 4'9" sixth grader from one church looked at the 6-foot-tall senior from another church and thought, there's no way I can hold him up. And the senior also thought, there's no way she can hold me up. And they might have been right if it just depended on one or the other of them. It didn't. The success of the activity depended on the whole group. When we look at our psalm as a song of the community, we remember that we all have a role to play. We're all needed. When we work together, we can cultivate safe space, space for rest, for ourselves, for each other, for all those around us. Our living into Psalm 23 and helping others live into it takes compassion. It means we suffer with, we stand with, we come alongside each other. We sang a song at Passport that said, may your struggles keep you near the Christ. May your troubles show that you need God. May your battles end the way they should. May your bad days prove that God is good. May your whole life prove that God is good. Now, one thought I have when we sing that song is that I don't want us to think that God causes our bad days or sends troubles and struggles on us to watch us suffer. No. God is with us in those difficult times. God cares for us, walks alongside us, creates safe spaces for us, suffers with us. Jesus has compassion on the crowd and on his disciples. That is who God is. So how can our bad days prove that God is good? I think one way is through compassion. We often sense the compassion of God when we receive compassion from each other. As we walk alongside each other, as we cultivate safe space for each other, as we suffer with each other, we see a picture of God's grace and goodness. This came to light for our youth as we were invited to change the words of that song slightly, to sing it with community in mind. May our struggles keep us near the Christ. May our troubles show that we need God. May our whole lives prove that God is good. Amen.